Welcome, listeners, to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy. I'm here with you every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time with different news, information, and guests that connect the dots between our health and our total health environment. This includes our water, our air, our food, our land, our social policies, and the culture we live in. So every week on Connect the Dots, I bring to you different guests who bring in different aspects of all the things we need to be involved with as part of connected to our health and the health of the planet as well. Today's show is really, really exciting. I'm so psyched about it. It's a really terrific show with a whole little band of guests that we have instead of just a single interview, which I do. You're going to be hearing from a number of terrific people today. And the focus of today's show is all the people who love New York water. Now, why are we talking about this? You may ask if this is the first time that you're listening to Connect the Dots. The reason is that New York City and New York State, in fact, the Northeast region, are really under threat from a new practice called fracking. I've done a lot of shows with many of the grassroots leadership and thought leaders on this topic, telling people all about it. And in today's show, we're going to be hearing from the younger generation, people who are concerned to prepare our water, our air, protect it and make sure that we have it into the future, do a lot of different things. As we are doing the show live today for you, right now a whole bunch of people are in buses and cars driving to Albany for a rally to try to persuade our governor, Governor Cuomo here in New York State, who for some reason is pushing very misguidedly fracking on the state. He hasn't asked, do we want it? He's saying, we're going to have it, and very rapidly, without environmental studies, health assessments, without economic assessments. So these people are going there, they're putting the bodies on the line to say, let's take a really long, hard look at this and not be pressured by the gas and oil companies to rush ahead without due diligence, and then people's health, our food, our water, and our money are left kind of having to redress a situation that hasn't been adequately studied from the beginning. If you're listening to this show, you may or may not be the kind of person who would go to a rally or go to a march. You may contribute in other ways. You may be interested in signing petitions. You may be interested in talking to neighbors, in donating money to some of the worthy grassroots groups in the region, or you may be a creative person who wants to tell the story and send the message in a different way. So on today's show, I'm featuring some creative people who really came up with a way to communicate and get to the heart of this issue. And that is the team behind a new website that just launched today with a terrific short film on it. It's called iHeartH2O .org, and it's really fantastic. And with me today to tell us all about it, we have a series of guests that will be on the show, and the first one is Ray Levine. She is kind of the mastermind who thought of this, brought the team together, and made this happen. It's really quite an extraordinary film, and it's funny to talk about a film on a radio show. We'll send you some links later so you can see it. But I want to welcome Ray to Connect the Dots. She's an architect, a co-founder of iHeartH2O, and she is affiliated with several nonprofit groups active in the issue, including New York H2O and Damascus Citizens. Welcome to Connect the Dots, Ray.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So tell me, why did you decide to make this film and launch this website? What was the inspiration?
Well, I really wanted to get younger voices involved.
Can you talk a little louder, Ray? I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
You hear me now?
Speak up a bit. Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to get younger voices involved and especially the power of New York involved in this issue, just working on trying to combat fracking for so long, I just got frustrated with there being no kind of cohesive voice.
So can you talk a little louder? We really want to hear your voice, right? So, you know, speak right into, you know, the phone or how you're reaching us.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, just really speak louder.
Okay.
Okay.
Then can you hear me now? Is this good?
Yep. I can hear you, but I want to hear you clear and loud as a bell.
I got frustrated with there being no cohesive voice on this issue, and there have been a lot of great products that have come out of this campaign. You know, Gasland was, film is a universal language, and it really reaches.
Can you tell any listeners to the show who are unfamiliar with Gasland what it's about?
Basically, Josh Fox, who's the director, went across the country and interviewed people who have been, you know, throughout the country who have been facing the brunt of the gas drilling techniques, hydrofracking, basically, on their property. So they have all sorts of health effects, and their property is ruined, and so he documented that, and it really reached a lot of people. He was a neighbor of ours upstate New York, and that's how I first became aware of the issue.
So Gasland is, for listeners who are hearing about this for the first time, it's an Oscar-nominated film, as Ray mentioned. It's a film that's really been, I mean, it's really a brilliant case where a documentary, becomes a kind of a wake-up call for people. There's a lot of money spent on PR by the gas and oil industry. This is great. It's bringing us energy independence, they claim. You know, many things they claim have been debunked. It was really, as Ray mentions, Josh Fox in the film Gasland that really raised public awareness and sort of brought it to everyone's attention. And any listeners who may have seen, who've been online, you could have seen the film on HBO. It's been showing continually in theaters ever since it was released several years ago. But there's also a very famous viral clip of it that's made the rounds that you may have seen in television appearances by Mark Ruffalo and Josh Fox and other leaders in the campaign to protect water, the environment, and health. It's also it's a clip of someone lighting their tap water on fire, and it almost explodes because the methane from the gas enters the home water supply. It leaks into it through when, leaks and spills and other things inevitably occur. And so in the film, there are repeated shots that Josh got of people actually lighting their water on fire. Let's get a little bit of a background on fracking, if we may, just for people that may be hearing about this on our show for the first time, although we've done many, many shows on the topic. I understand, Ray, that with you is Joe Levine, one of the co-founders of New York H2O and Damascus Citizen. Are you there, Joe? Can you give us a little background just about what fracking is and everything?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Allison.
Hi.
Thanks. Fracking is a fairly new technology. There's devised by Halliburton. It's a lot of people will claim that it's been around for a long time, but this is sort of like not simple fracking. And fracking represents the difference between conventional gas extraction, where in the past we would just put a hole in the ground and the gas would be free in a reservoir and just want to come out. So that was fairly passive compared to this. This is sort of like extreme drilling here, where you drill down a couple of thousand feet and the bits are able to turn horizontally a couple of thousand feet and you get into a formation of shale. And the gas is embedded in the shale, so you can't free the gas unless you basically pulverize or blast the shale. So you have to inject, to facilitate the operation, the use of chemicals is extraordinary, and there's literally 1,000 different chemicals that have been used for this, but chemicals facilitate the extraction of the shale, of the gas from the shale. And water, millions and millions of gallons of water, some sort of like 4 to 8 million gallons per frack, are mixed with toxic chemicals. It's only 1%, the industry likes to say, but 1% of, you know, 5 to 10 million gallons of water is a lot of chemicals. And those chemicals are injected into the ground under intense pressure, 15,000 PSI. It's the pressure that a bomb would produce. And it explodes.
Wow.
It explodes the shale, and the goal is for that gas to then follow the route up the wellbore. Of course, when you explode that shale, some of the gas is able to find its way up that wellbore. But there's also a lot of other issues. There's a lot of naturally occurring chemicals in those deep formations that have been embedded in the ground for millions of years. And contained, and they're radioactive, and they're highly toxic and poisonous. So fracking not only mixes millions of gallons of water with chemicals, but it also induces the release of chemicals that were previously contained. And then they're able to travel wildly underground. You can't predict their travel path, but you could predict that they will travel. And the bedrock is naturally fractured bedrock, there's faults and fissures. So once you set off that fracking operation, you're releasing these chemicals and radioactive elements, and they're free to travel underground for forever. Some of those chemicals, about 20%, are brought back up to the surface with the gas. The other 80% are left underground, able to migrate forever.
Mm.
And the idea is to bring that gas up and then bring it to market. And it's sort of, that's what fracking is. And it's been known to devastate the environment, communities, consume water. You can't ever return that water. It's called a consumptive use of water because you can't ever clean that water again or return it. And this whole process is essentially it's essentially an illegal activity. But the industry was given exemptions by way of Dick Cheney and Halliburton and the 2005 Energy Policy Act was given exemptions from regulations. So once again, we have an illegal activity because it doesn't comply with existing regulations. So then you mix in some exemptions, and now it's basically legal, although that's still being challenged. In addition, it's subsidized so that the industry could sort of make money on it. It's recently been sort of proven that there's no money to be made on it and that it's a Ponzi scheme. I'll stop there because I could go on forever here. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's thank you, Joe. That's really a terrific summary. So, you know, and that really puts in context why the whole project of iHeart H2O, because the message of the PSA, which is really terrific, and features a lot of actors and performers and everything. It's really, you know, kind of standing up for water because fracking threatens water, it contaminates water, and it's putting water at risk. And I'd like to also welcome to the broadcast the other two participants here from iHeart H2O, and that is Zoe Potkin, the producer of the film, as well as Summer Rain Oaks, one of the actors and performers in the film, who's also extremely active in the environmental movement. So welcome, Zoe and Summer, to Connect the Dots.
Hi, Allison. We're still waiting for Summer to dial in right now. So you've just
I'm here. I'm
okay,
on.
Great. You're here there, Zoe.
Yeah,
okay, great.
Yeah,
cool.
Thank
terrific.
You.
We're doing very free-flowing conversation today. So, you know, Ray and Zoe, you know, tell us a little bit about the making of the film and who some of the actors are and where people can go to see the film.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Ray contacted me because she was spearheading this project. And
can everyone really talk up? Because we want to hear you loud and clear.
Absolutely. Sorry.
Thank you.
I was saying that, you know, Ray contacted me because she was spearheading this project and was really inspired by what was going on with hydrofracking. And, you know, she really wanted to, you know, put an end to it and combat the process and whatnot. And she really said that, you know, like she said before, that she wanted to gather together a group of New Yorkers and young New Yorkers and really sort of a medley of New Yorkers, because it really was like the, you know, campaign is called A New York Body of Water, like any body of water. And so we put together this campaign that is serious but also cheeky in a way, because we sort of play off the word hydraulic fracturing, fracking, and to sort of, you know, get people involved, because, you know, historically water has been so important to New Yorkers. New Yorkers love their water. They love everything that's made with their water. Their tap water has been delicious. It makes the pizza so great. It makes the bagels so great. And so we got together this great group of New Yorkers, these actors, these performers, you know.
And we thought about the voices who had the most impact in society, and that's really, you know, the ones who have the largest fan bases, the ones who
Can you
are,
tell us who some of the participants are? I think listeners would love to know that.
Basically just reached out to all of our friends and asked
And I need you to really speak right into that, whatever you're talking into, because I want to hear you loud and clear. Project your voice a little bit.
We have with us Summer Rain Oaks, who is known as the eco model, who can talk to you a little bit about her participation. But among the list of 30-plus participants, we have, you know, Norman Reedus, Adrian Grenier, Leighton Meester, Sandra Bernhard, Ezra Miller, Alec Weck, Zoe Kravitz, Nigel Barker, Yaniv Shulman, Zuleika Robertson, and really the list just goes on. But you can see the list of all the participants on the iHeart H2O website, which is www.iHeartH2O.org. And there you can watch the three cuts of the PSA that we have so far.
And we're making
them. And you can see the portrait series that we did for the campaign, which is also really incredible.
Yeah, the film is absolutely terrific, and it's really very moving. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I was, several of us, the grassroots community, and I was there reporting as well, came out for an event last night in New York City at the New York Ethical Culture Society. It was called Fraconomics. It was mounted by a coalition of different fracking groups. And it really addressed the economic side of the equation. You know, the myth has been that this process is going to give energy independence, there's going to be 100 years of gas, you know, and so whatever the incredible environmental health damage, the damage to the food supply, you know, people that aren't residing in the area where that damage is occurring, you know, are saying that from their perspective it's worth it. Of course, I don't know how that could be so when this is really happening upstream and putting at risk the, you know, the water, food, and environment of, you know, major population centers like New York City and Philadelphia. Nevertheless, some people believe it's worth it and assert that it's worth it. But it actually was revealed at the session last night that it's not 100 years. The SEC, that's the Security, you know, Trade Commission of the United States government, has looked into, on behalf of investors, has looked into the gas company claims of how much gas is accessible through this process readily for use. And they're saying, you know, the figures vary slightly. The gas company's claimed it's 100. The reality, 6 or 7 years. So, you know, for 6 or 7 years worth of filling your tank, you know, we're creating this environmental damage. And here's the thing. I'm very touched by the film and the website and the whole initiative, because Whose water are we poisoning? Whose water are we stealing? Whose food shed are we compromising? It's that of the next generation. So it's you guys, it's your world that, you know, will be ruined by these kinds of decisions. And, you know, so that some of us can have the comfort of driving our car, whatever, even though there are undoubtedly other options that if they were invested in and subsidized by our taxpayer money, as much as this gas venture, this gas joyride is being subsidized, you know, we would be there and have that option. So I feel that your generation really, I'm so grateful that you're standing up and speaking out, because really it's your generation and your children and their children whose water and food are being stolen away by this process for a mere 6 to 7 years worth of energy.
Exactly.
So I'd love to hear your comments from any of you. Summer is joining us now. I'd love to hear from you on this topic. And Summer Rain Oaks, the eco model, an endorser and someone who is really incredibly active at all times and in many different places, raising consciousness in incredibly creative and far-reaching ways about our need to protect the environment. Summer, what do you have to say about this?
Well, you know, I was really honored when Zoe and Ray asked me to be a part of the project, and this hits really close to home for me. I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, where you know, I was working on mine reclamation sites and acid mine drainage in the area, because and when natural gas came in the Marcellus Shale where I lived, and it also goes throughout New York, it was like a second coming for me. And I think what you know, people are positioned with in these areas is that, you know, there's not a lot of activism. There's not a lot of environmental groups. So there's not a lot of watchdogs. And so you get a knock on your door or something in your mail, and it says, we want to lease your land, and it doesn't really tell you all the. It's like watching one of those commercials where it says, you know, take this medication and then these are all the side effects. That isn't in the pamphlets when they send that to you. So it just looks like, you know, these people are like, oh, wow, we could get a $100,000 check right now for my land. And all of those hidden side effects is like, you know, and this is in the small print. You could get diarrhea. And it's just not being showcased. And I think to your point of, you know, being kind of a young activist, and, you know, my background is in environmental science, and I've been blessed and honored to be able to leverage a creative career to align with my values, to be able to talk more about environmental issues. So, but this particular issue, you know, hits close to home, literally and figuratively. And I think that, you know, the economics of it and the harmful side effects are now becoming known, but in many cases, it's almost too late, because if you look at how, you know, wells are drilled, like just within 2 to 3 years' time, the natural gas companies don't just drill one well, they drill hundreds in the area. And as Joe had mentioned earlier, that there's not a great understanding of the technology. It's relatively new. They have been given a free pass of the Safe Water and Drinking Water Act. And so when you fracture underground, you're creating a lot of these mini earthquakes, and there's not a real good understanding of the hydrology underneath the ground, and it really goes without, you know, people's eyes, because it's not, the pollution is not happening immediately right above ground, but it's causing these mini fractures. And, you know, as a young person in this area, I mean, I would like for us to go towards a more clean energy future rather than retrofitting an old economy that just doesn't work anymore.
Thank you. That's that's terrific. That's really, really clear. You know, and we'll come back to that too. You know, I just want to Ray, you know, and Zoe, what, you know, what is your dream? You've brought together all these wonderful people, brought Summer into it. You know, you have such a terrific group of people who are really speaking for the heart of your generation about this issue. What are your hopes and dreams about what you would like to accomplish and where you would like to see this wonderful must-see film going?
I mean, really, it's just about spreading the word as much as possible. You know, ideally, we would like it to be seen in as many places as possible. We'd like it to be, you know, on television. We'd like it to be in the taxis. We'd like it to, you know, be as viral as possible. We're sending it out, you know, to every, like, online, you know, media source, to every, we did a gorgeous portrait series, and we're sending it to every publication, you know,
and a portrait of all the actors in the film.
Exactly, wearing these T-shirts, these Any Body of Water T-shirts that Ray designed. And, you know, we really just want it, we want every person who was involved in the project to tweet it, to post it on their blogs, to email it to their friends, and then for it to become as viral as possible, and so that people really go to the website and read about, you know, hydraulic fracturing and learn about the issue and really, you know, take action. And that's really, that was the purpose of creating the video, you know, the videos and the films, and that's really was the original intention.
Yeah, and just to add, sorry, this is Summer Rain again, but just to add, like, the taking action, I mean, there's you know, so much that people could do at this point, and a lot of times it's not enough to vote any longer, unfortunately, because, you know, you vote to get the representatives who are supposed to represent what you want, but at this point, the representatives and your congresspeople need to hear, you know, what you want. And if there's, and unfortunately, if it's just coming from an individual here and an individual there, there needs to be an upwelling of support and phone calls and written letters. And I know there's, you know, I heard H2O and a number of others have made it easy to be able to, you know, send an email to the representatives. But the first thing is to get educated, to know how to speak about the issue, and to really demand a change, because it's the only way that it's going to happen if you're going up against the forces who be. And at the very least, there's areas and regions that have now started a moratorium on natural gas fracking, hydraulic fracturing, but there's also the ability to pass something called the FRAC Act. And it does remove the exemption for oil and gas exploration and production from the Safe Drinking Water Act, and part of the Community Right to Know Act, and the latter is provides the public and local governments with information concerning potential chemical hazards, and that has been kind of, fracturing has been outside of those laws, so nobody is really. If something gets damaged, if the water's damaged, if there's health effects caused by it, nobody's really protected by, because natural gas is outside of this. So it really falls on your shoulders to protect yourself. So this is the information that citizens need to know and to tell their congresspeople and their representatives of why it matters to them.
And so this is something, and their governors,
yeah,
because sometimes
absolutely.
These governors are very ambitious, and we're in a time, sadly, where lobbyists and millions of dollars in PR campaign and in lobbying and in political contributions to people running for office can drown out the voice of the people in politicians' minds. So, you know, we really need people, I think, to let their public, political leaders know that they are being watched. And it's both what you want to have happen, and also you're going to watch and you're going to vote. You know, if they're giving more, you know, they're meeting the needs of these campaign donors more than they are yours. Also, I'm glad you mentioned the FRAC Act, because that's something that anyone, anywhere in the country can support. And, you know, one of the things that I think, and we've come to believe over time, is that if it's not happening right here in my backyard, you know, then it's just of concern to the people in the immediate environment. But the fact is, water, which is, you know, what the whole initiative is about that you've created, is really traveling everywhere. It's not just staying in one place. You can draw a line on a state border, but, you know, you can't stop the water from flowing underground all over, you know, all over creation here. You can't stop the air currents. The food, our food supply, ideally comes from as, you know, close to us as possible, but in many cases it's shipped in from elsewhere. And how is it grown and where is it grown? So, you know, I think we've kind of had an idea up till now that we can just kind of take care of our own immediate needs. We can just take care of our own quarter. We just have to look out for our immediate neighborhood. And many people, you know, really are waking up even to the need to do that. But actually, we also really need to look at the big picture, because the big picture affects all of us, the big picture in terms of water and in terms of democracy even.
Mm-hmm.
So the FRAC Act, which you mentioned, really is something that people can urge their Congress people to act on wherever they are in the country. Now, we're going to take our station identification break here, and we'll be returning afterward. So please stay with us, listeners, on Connect the Dots for the second half of the show. We'll be continuing to talk with Summer Rain Oaks and Zoe Potkin, and we want to thank Ray Levine and Joe Levine, who have had to move on to other activities, and we'll be talking more about iHeart Water. Welcome back, listeners, to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and I'm with you every week, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network, connecting the dots between personal health and our total health environment, including our water, air, land, food, as well as our society, our social policies, our culture, our beliefs, our media, and all of the things that go into making a healthy versus an unhealthy environment. We need to make personal choices about health, and we also need to act in our communities and as citizens in order to protect our health, our children's health, and the health of the earth that supports us. I'm very excited on today's show to have some terrific people with a really beautiful initiative called iHeartH2O. And for any other listeners who are unfamiliar with how to type in a heart, it basically goes, You make an I, and then you make a kind of a bracket, I'm not sure if that's the right word, and then 3, and then that produces the heart, and then H2O, and it's .org. And we'll be continuing to talk with some of the masterminds and participants in this wonderful project. It's a wonderful celebrity-endorsed PSA called Any Body of Water, which features 30 voices from Hollywood that are really standing up for water in a time when it's under threat by hydraulic fracking, which we've discussed at length and explained in the first part of the show. So, you know, now I have with me, are you both guys here with me on the second part of the show?
Yes.
Summer Rain Oaks, the eco model and a terrific spokesperson for the environment and activism, as well as the film's producer, Zoe Potkin. An NYU graduate with like a terrific list of credits, who really helped Ray Levine, the mastermind of the entire project, create this very moving and evocative film that goes right to the heart of, you know, water, which is really the essence of life. We can't live without it. We can't survive without it. Our planet can't survive without it. So, you know, in order to drive the car or whatever, we think the it's now documented as 6 to 7 years of natural gas that would be produced by this enormous multi-bazillion dollar investment for only just 6 years, and could be, would be, and is, wherever it's going on, taking out the limited and shrinking supply of fresh water that we have available to us on the planet. You know, with future freshwater sources you know, accelerating to be taking water out, to mix it with chemicals and taking it out of the useful water forever because it can never be cleaned because this process is so highly toxic. It's really going in a very bad direction, and it's something that many are acting to stop. I want to urge people who want to stand up and stop it and contribute your connections, your creativity, your thoughts, your actions, you know, and really where they count. You can go to the website, iHeartH2O.org, see the film, learn more about it, find out how you can participate. You can also go and take action at DamascusCitizens.org. That's DamascusCitizens, citizens.org, where in the first half of the show we were talking about the FRAC Act, which is a proposed act in Congress that anyone of any state can write their congressman and get support for it. It really, all what it does is basically put fracking back in with every other process that we have that you know, that has any dangers, where it can be vetted, where the water can be protected, instead of fighting inch by inch and millimeter by millimeter to get the companies to pay any attention and do one little incremental thing. They don't even have to reveal these chemicals. Every other process has to be reviewed. If it's going to harm something, it has to be addressed, and they are under no obligation to do anything, which is why it's called an outlaw process. So you can go and take action on the FRAC Act at Damascus Citizens, as well as other initiatives. And for ongoing information about all of this, I blog on the Huffington Post. I host this radio program, blog other places as well. You can check out my website. You can sign up to get my free weekly e-newsletter at healthjournalistblog.com. And you're warmly invited. You can also friend me on Facebook, Connecting the Dots for Health. And I also note that Summer Rain Oaks, that you have a page. So, you know, definitely go on Facebook. So definitely go and check that out. And Zoe, does iHeartH2O have a Facebook page too?
Company, I Am Pictures, NY.
Terrific.
So you guys should definitely check that out.
Okay, so everybody should go and like all these pages, and and it's a way of staying involved and informed and connected. So, you know, I want to ask you guys, because this, you know, I'm regarded as one of maybe the three top senior reporters, journalists, of the integrative health movement. And that's my background, you know, championing healthy eating, how to take care of your health, the things that are healthy versus unhealthy to do. And I was one of the first people to start reporting on that movement, and I've worked with, you know, nearly all of the leaders at one time or another, as well as people who are quiet leaders that really heal people below the radar and do terrific things. So I came to the environment because I realized, you know, A, I can eat a healthy diet, but not if I don't have organic food because someone took away the standards because it was losing money for some industry for people to have healthy food. I can have healthy health care, but not if the medical industry wants to profit. And, you know, they really treat diseases after the fact with very expensive treatments rather than preventing them before the fact. So I kind of took the health movement's, you know, the natural health movement's message, like, be proactive, get in front of the curve rather than just do whatever anyone tells you, get sick, and then pay a lot of money, you personally and the whole society, treating the illnesses we cause that could have been prevented. And that's how I really came to this whole issue and began seeing more and more and more that we're making social policy choices in government that are harming people's health, the health of other creatures, and the health of the earth itself. So that's really where I'm coming from in doing all of this reporting.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, and I always feel that I'm doing it on behalf of your generation and your kids and grandkids, but, you know, this is a question I've been wanting to ask for so long. I'd like to know, I mean, how does it look to you and to your generation to be inheriting a world in which, you know, we who are of the older generations before you haven't thought about these things, have been so neglectful you know, have just been kind of operating by other rules. And, you know, some people are getting it. More and more people are getting it. Some people get it but don't really, you know, they feel they're too overwhelmed to do anything. Some people don't get it at all. How does that look from you know, young people, the next group of adults in their prime? I mean, how does that look from your perspective?
Summer, do you want to take this since you are I think you're the expert here.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, I mean, look, I grew up in blue-collar Pennsylvania, and I had an epiphany, you know, kind of in my life. And it was not just because of, you know, where I grew up, but it was because of the friends that I had. And you know, I fell into a position where I was like, you know, these people just don't get me. And it was kind of an us, you know, me versus them kind of thing. And I just realized that, you know, if I can't get my best friends and my family to understand why I do what I do and why I love what I do and why it should matter to them, then I'm not making much of a difference. So I think that, you know, as a young person and as, you know, and as somebody who, like, for you, who communicates to the world, you have to be able to touch people, you know, where they're at in their lives. Mm-hmm. And speak in a language that makes sense to them. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why I found myself in fashion, because it was a touch point that connects all of us. You know, what we eat, we get up in the morning, we eat, we get dressed, we, you know, use personal care products, you know, we watch media, we laugh, you know, we're connected to music and humor. These are the commonalities that we all share. And so I think it's important for us to kind of step outside of our environment and realize that that's the first thing that we need to recognize, is that we need to be able to communicate these things effectively. The way that I look at, you know, kind of the world is not through, you know, rose-colored glasses, and it's also not as a, you know, let's all hold hands and sing kumbaya, you know, idealist, but it's more of a realistic idealist where, you know, you recognize that things are going to change and things are going to be lost. And I am a firm believer that you have to understand the extent of the issues and the complications and the challenges in order to develop the right kind of solutions. So it's not something where you're just speaking about a message of hope that's like all fluff and no bite, but you have to really kind of understand the extent of the problems. And the way that I look at it from a young person's eyes, I'm aging, I'm 27 now.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not the youngest person, but, you know, speaking from that kind of generation and you know, still holding fast on to youth, is that, you know, some of the generations have made mistakes and probably choices that I wouldn't have made, but it's allowed me to see the extent of the changes and realize that we have to have the right kind of policies and the right kind of practices and the right kind of proactiveness in place in order to facilitate change. And it's how I felt, the same way I felt when I was 16 and working on a mine reclamation site. It's like, clearly this wasn't the way, you know, this wasn't the way of the future. And you learn that lesson and you want to approach things differently. I've met people who are just like, oh, your generation will figure it out, and they kind of push it off to you. And we have other people that really care. You know, I just produced a film called Extinction, and it showcases that the most pressing environmental issues are not happening thousands of years from now. They're happening within a lifetime. And I put it on the timeline of my life from birth to death to showcase, like, how quickly things are changing and to really humanize some of the most esoteric, you know, issues of our day. And when you put it, humanness to it, and you put it on the you know, the timeline of a life, it really hits to people's homes. And I think that the hydraulic fracturing issue and the PSA that we did with IHR-H2O really kind of, you know, not only leverages, you know, some great voices that people recognize, but, you know, we're also New Yorkers. We feel that we're under siege and we don't want to be taken advantage of. And unfortunately, some people have been taken advantage of. So it's our job now to be proactive and to be smart and to really understand the extent of the issues in order to create the changes that need to be in order to make a difference and right the wrongs.
Can I just jump in to say that, you know, I think just when you look at the people who've participated in this, you know, PSA, it's not just the younger generation who I think is feeling like, you know, we need to take action to stop the world from, you know, disaster. We did have people like Jen Anderson, you know, who has the show Guiltless Gourmet, and Frederick Vanderwall, and the supermodel Frederick Vanderwall, and Carol All, it's also the model, who have, like, you know, very, like, eco-conscious product lines, and, like, who have, I think, you know, are from an older generation, but I think are thinking about the world in sort of like a very eco-friendly way. And then you have people, you know, it was like sort of like a very mixed bag of people. Then we have, you know, people from, you know, I would say, you know, Summer Rain Oaks, you know, generation, and then way down the line, down to like people who are 14, you know. And so I think that there's definitely, you know, an awareness that's out there that I think spans a generation, a variety of generations, which really, you know, showed itself in this film that we made, which was really nice. And I think that you, when you watch it, and especially when you look at the portrait series that we did, which sort of shows the full 30 plus faces that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really true. There is a mix. That was, you know, that was just also, I mean, and also if you go to rallies and marches, you do see people of all generations. You know, being a little older than you guys, I just feel a real sense of responsibility and also poignancy that young people, you know, really have to step up to help save the world that has been given to them. And I think that it's a case of the generations, the caring members of any generation kind of holding hands around this,
mm-hmm.
because it's a joint task. I mean, it's something we all have to do. And, you know, for my generation, I think we really, you know, have to be accountable and help make it right. And, you know, because we're the ones who lived and kind of took for granted and became addicted to certain lifestyle choices. And they, you know, our choices have ongoing impact. And this particular choice, the choice about fracking, it's kind of like, you know, it's like a real end game kind of choice. And, you know, it has to be stopped. You know, I just saw a film, The Big Fix, which actually I had the filmmakers on the show, and I just saw it recently for the second time. It's about the aftermath of the Deepwater Horizon spill and the use of Corexit and the terrible impact on the Gulf communities, on their livelihoods, on wildlife, seafood, sea life, as well as human life. For people who were exposed to both the oil and to the chemical, which is, you know, it was claimed it handled it. You know, there are claims that things are fine, but, you know, they're really kind of ongoing problems. And the very same chemical that has been shown, you know, to create a certain range of symptoms over all of these different areas, Gulf communities, is being used on land through fracking. The same chemical, you know, is producing the same health impacts in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, and that radiates out, you know, so it may be centering right where they use it, but it's carried by water and it eventually goes anywhere. And we know that low doses even of certain kinds of chemicals can have ongoing health effects. You know,
right.
So there's the thing that most struck me in that film was that someone said, oh, well, you know, this wasn't a big enough tragedy, or it's going to take a bigger tragedy to wake people up. And I know for me, when I saw those pelicans covered, you know, with oil,
mm-hmm.
I cried. That was big enough for me.
Yeah.
And you know, I really hope that we hear the wake-up call so that the next big tragedy to wake people up isn't happening here with major urban populations of the Northeast. I think, honestly, that's what we're talking about. And I love the film. I love the initiative, and I love the fact that you know, you've brought together a range of people to really express their love, their passion, their commitment for water, something that we really have to preserve. So, you know, tell our listeners what you would like them to do next, you know, how they can support your effort, how they can help put it out there, and, you know, what you're hoping and planning. Like, for example, you mentioned you'd like to get it into New York City cabs. I think that's, like, the best idea yet.
I know. I mean, really, I have been on, you know, in talks with NBC Taxi TV, and the bare minimum they're willing to cut us for, you know, being a PSA is like $2,000. So we're just, I'm planning to pop this on Kickstarter and just try to raise some funds like today. So look out for us, I guess is
okay.
What I can say.
I think that's fantastic. So, you know, if people go to the Facebook page, then
they will see a link for sure.
Okay.
You know,
spell that out for everybody so they know how to find you on Facebook.
Sorry, say that again?
I mean, just spell the name again so people can find you on Facebook, like the page, and then when you go on Kickstarter, everybody can give $5, $10, whatever you can give to put it in the New York City taxis. That could be one of the most powerful things that could be done. And here we have like a team of young people, creative people, you know, creating something super. You've got to see it, but also support it. So spell out how they find you, you know, how they find your location on Facebook. Spell
it
out.
Well, if they go to www.ihearth2o.org, there's
okay,
a link.
How do they type the heart?
How do they?
For those idiotic people
I'm
over
sorry.
40 that may not know how to type a heart.
www.ihearth2o.org.
Oh, so you can spell out heart and get there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Brilliant. Thank you.
And there's links to our Facebook, our YouTube, Vimeo, and then there will also be a link to our Kickstarter page where we're trying to raise funds to have our PSA featured in the taxis so we can really spread the word. And just again to reiterate, the objective of iHeartH2O is really to inspire water conservation and preservation through creativity and design, and that's really what we are trying to achieve through these films, which I really think we've done, and we really just want to spread the word as much as possible. So please visit the site, share the videos with everyone, and we really just want to, you know, spread the word as much as possible so that people will take action. And Summer, maybe if you can again just say one more sentence to the effect of like how people can most effectively take action.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, go to the website iHeartH2O and watch the PSA, help give to the Kickstarter program. Just get the knowledge about what's happening in your community and tell your representatives, your congresspeople. It's always best to call and write to show up. You know, that way, you know, it's less likely that they will just push your message underneath a giant file of emails, and get your friends and your community to do it as well. You know, I think that we have the opportunity. The current FRAC Act is kind of stalled, so it needs to be pushed through. It's not going to prevent hydraulic fracturing from happening, but it gives some more safety and allows the hydraulic fracturing to be under the Safe and Clean Drinking Water Act. And the Community Right to Know Act, which is super important because it tells people in the community if there's chemicals in the area and also if there is, God forbid, pollution in your waterways, it actually protects you so you don't have to, like, sue your neighbor or front the bills and the cost yourself. So all of this is really important. There's so many different ways to get involved. It just depends on how, not about what you can do, but what you're capable of.
That's fantastic. Thank you. That's a terrific, terrific wish list. And I am going to make an offer, too, which is that anyone who gives $20 to the Kickstarter campaign, who's a listener on Connect the Dots, please write me, care of my website, and I will answer health questions. This is something that I don't usually do. But I have, you know, after 25 years of reporting on this, I'm a storehouse of information. I've been more interested in public policy, but if you donate $20, write to me, let me know, I'll verify it, and I'll answer your health question privately.
Thank you so much, Allison. Very much appreciated.
Getting that, and go watch the film, you'll see why we're so excited about getting it into the New York cabs. I just think it's the best. And if you are a New Yorker, please do write Governor Cuomo as well, and go visit him, participate in rallies, and sign up at United for Action, DamascusCitizens.org, New Yorkers Against Fracking. Thank you so much, Summer and Zoe, for being with me on Connect the Dots. Stay tuned next week, listeners, 10 a.m. Wednesday Eastern Time, for the next edition of Connect the Dots. Thank you for being with us, and I'm Allison Rose Levy. Oh,